of the Lord is our strength. And it's, and if we ever need it, try to stay in joy during these days. But we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight to listen to the Word, I pray that you'd give us words to say that will have the effect that they're supposed to have. I thank you, Father, that every heart will be open and every ear will be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the power of hearing the right things tonight. You know, we got many voices that are speaking into our lives. They're trying to influence us with our thinking. Even today, you've either listened to the radio, television, been on the internet, or social media, or some salesman has talked to you. In addition to that, on the way to church, I guarantee you, you saw signs and billboards and even messages on vehicles. And we have all kinds of news sources to find out what's going on. Some of them take the same event, and on one news source it's this way, and on the other news source it's another way. And all of these are so that they can influence you to say and do what they want you to do. They want you to make decisions based on what they're telling you. They want you to decide to make a decision on what they say, not what somebody else says. Actually, we have too many sources that are trying to manipulate us and control how we think and act and react. You know, hearing the right things will enable you to take advantages of opportunities that come your way. Now, I've heard this, I've related this story before. I've heard it many times. I don't know, I've never been able to verify the validity of it, but I think it's probably a true story. There was a man during the Great Depression in the 30s. He went to apply for a job as a Morse code operator. Now, most of you modern generation don't even know about Morse code. I was in the Army from 62 to 65. I was in Army Security Agency. I was in communications. I did radio teletype, landline teletype, Morse code, and voice communications. I did it all. And so he walked into this large room and the office, and it was noisy, and the reception said, "Oh, just sit down over there with everybody else." And he sat down and he waited a minute, and he got up and went through the closed door. A few minutes later, the head man came out and said, "The rest of you can go home. I just hired this man." Well, they all got upset. They said, "Man, we've been here all day, and he comes barging in uninvited, went right into your office, and now you come out here and tell us that you hired him?" The man said, "The whole time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been clicking out Morse code. If you understand this message, come through the closed door, and this is the only guy that heard it." That's sort of interesting, isn't it? In fact, even today, if I hear what we call them, I got anybody here that was in the service or that's done Morse code, we called it Diddy Bops. I don't know what y'all called it, but that's what all our group called it, you know. And even today, if all of a sudden I hear it, my ears prick up. Why? because I spent many hours with earphones on listening to Morse code and writing it down or sending it. See? Da, di, 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 da, da, di, da. Break. Over. K is over. How many of y'all remember? You guys remember K is over. And at the end of the message, when you got the message at the end, you put BT, da, di, 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 da, da, di, da. That's break BT. You see, because I was trained, my ear automatically picks that up. You see, we got to realize there's power in hearing. Matthew 4:24 says, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Now I'm reading these from the NLT. Here we notice that Jesus said, watch what you hear. And then as we realize this, the substance are the content that we listen to either helps us or discourages us. You see, the man sitting in that office listened and he heard and he was able to get a job because he heard. See, we go to Luke 8:18. Luke 8:18. I'll wait just a minute. I'm going pretty fast here, so I'll slow down. Luke 8:18. And I'm going to also read that from the NLT. Most of you that have your device there, you probably have two or three different, four, five, six, eight different translations that you can go to. So go to the NLT, the New Living Translation. Luke 8:18. Pay attention to how you hear. See, up here he said, pay close attention to what you hear. And now he says, what you hear. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from him. Now Jesus says, be careful how you hear. This speaks of the manner in listening. You know, many times people sit in church, they hear, but they don't listen. Come on. I got a few people nodding their head. You know, sort of a little funny story here, but, you know, he was at a tent revival and the preacher preached a really fiery evangelistic message, and when he finished, he wanted anybody that needed prayer to come forward. So a man went out of his chair and he got there, and when the preacher finally got to him, he said, what do you want me to pray about? And he said, well, preacher, I need you to pray about my hearing. So he put his hands on his ears and he prayed for him, and after he got through praying, moved his hands, and he said, how's your hearing? The man said, I don't know, preacher. My hearing isn't scheduled until next Wednesday. Pay attention. Listen intentively. Or attentively, I should say. You know, notice how we hear will determine what you receive. Now, there's three primary ways that they try to get through to us in the natural: music, movies, media. Okay? These are very strong influences in our natural world. In fact, that's why I am always saying that we should keep, and we do at our house, but you should keep on good Christian music all the time. What you hear influences how you act and react. You know, I mean, I was associate pastor and youth pastor back in the 67 to 72, and You know, as I dealt with my youth, I could always tell when they were getting hooked up on listening to secular music, because their attitudes started to change. Everything that, but I say, what are you listening to? Oh, they'd hum and haw, you know. I mean, I don't know how teenagers do today, but probably the same thing, hum and haw around. And I finally said, you're listening to the wrong thing. Some of your parents, you're letting your kids listen to some things. You need to listen to some of those rap words and see what they're saying. Get them on. If they want rap music, get them on Christian rap music. Come on. Every generation has its music. I don't care whether it's Christian or secular, they have their music. It's the truth. I, of course, was born in 39, came up through the war, and came through the 40s when the crooners and the big band sound, then into the 50s and the rock and roll of the 50s, and right on through, it's there. But the Christian music has also followed along. There have been changes. Used to, we'd sing the hymns. Now we sing our praise songs. I, for one, not particularly care about it, but it's still praising God. That's the important part. Is it lifting you up? Is it causing you to want to praise God? Is it causing you to give praise to God? Come on. We talked about that last song, talking about the strength of the Lord. It's causing you to look to the Lord for strength, for his strength. Okay? We've got to understand the power of what and how we hear. It will greatly determine what you experience in life and how you act and react. Listening to music, there's some movies you don't need to watch. There's some media you just need to get rid of. See, what you hear will eventually affect what you believe. What you hear will either cause you to believe God's word or will cause you to be an unbeliever. Hearing the word will bring faith to you. It will develop strong beliefs in the promises of God. Now, I want to go to a scripture that I preach my healing, usually preach a healing message from, but I want to zero in on something else tonight. Mark 5:23. Of course, this is actually the story of the woman with the issue of blood. But it doesn't start out there. It starts out with the synagogue ruler, Jairus, coming to Jesus. And I just want to pick up in verse 23, pleading fervently with him, "My little daughter is dying." This Jairus talking to Jesus. "Please come, lay your hands on her head, heal her so she can live." Jesus was going with him, and a large crowd followed him. Now you see, this story starts out with Jairus coming to Jesus, and Jesus starts to Jairus' house. And most people lose that sight because they get into the woman with the issue of blood that got healed from touching his clothes, right? But now drop down to verse 35. It says, while he was speaking to her, now this is Jesus speaking to the woman with the issue of blood, messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Jesus heard the report, but now Jairus heard that report, saying, "Your daughter has died. Come on, go back home. Leave Jesus alone." Now, when you hear a negative report, you have to make a decision. Will you let fear and anxiety and so forth get a hold of you? Or will you believe the word? Now, when you're believing the word, you can also do what's necessary in the natural. We live a life in the natural and the supernatural, the spiritual and the natural. Our life runs in two tracks. We live in a natural world, but we're a spiritual person. And there are things in the natural world that have to be taken care of, and there are things in the supernatural world or the spiritual world that has to be taken care of. Somebody, where'd you learn that? I learned that from a man that I'm named after. Now, Jesus then turned to Jairus, and he said, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Now, Jairus heard two reports, right? The report of the messengers and the report of Jesus. Now, he has to make a decision. So he believed what Jairus said, and we know the rest of the story. She was raised up. That's why, see, what you hear will determine what you get, what you receive. Now, let's look at Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. I'm talking about the power of hearing, and especially hearing the right things and listening to the right things. Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Now we'll read that from the NLT. "Anyone who listens to my teaching." See, listens. You can hear without listening. How many of you ever had your mama say, "Are you listening to me?" She knows that you're hearing her. Anybody? Somebody said everybody has. But mama used to say, "Kenneth Wayne Hagin, are you listening to me?" I knew when she used all three names, I better perk up in a hurry. I don't know about your mom, but anytime my mom used all three of my names, it was curtains. You better shape up and ship out in a hurry. He says here, anyone who listens, just not hears, but listens to my teaching and follows it, is wise. Like the person who built his house on a solid rock. Though the rains came in torrents, the floodwaters rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. So, to do the right thing, you got to hear the right thing. See, both hearing and doing work together with the Word of God. Hearing isn't enough. Doing isn't enough. It takes both hearing and doing. Hearing what the truth says and how you hear will position you for the promises of God to come into your life. You see, what people say has great influence on people, especially ministers. That's why you need to, if you're a minister, you need to be very careful what you say. And I've known of this happening too many times in my lifetime. I mean, I've been in the ministry myself 62 years. I was born on a Sunday morning, as most of you know, in church the next Sunday, my dad's church. I've actually been in and around the ministry all of my life. And a church had grown, and they had gone into a building program, needed a new building. And so on one Sunday, they had a guest speaker that was greatly respected. And he told the people that the Lord wasn't in the building project. And what that person said so affected the church that it almost killed the church, because the people quit giving because this guy was so well respected. I heard my dad say it hundreds of times. Don't be taken up by who's saying what. Only be taken up by what the Word of God says. Paul even said to his people he was writing to, he said, if I or somebody else comes to you teaching you something different than what I've taught you, count it a curse. Right? Anybody ever read that? You know, I had somebody come to me a few years back, and they come to me and said, well, brother so-and-so said so-and-so. I said, does that make it so? Well, he is this or that. I started to say, you know, they said he's a prophet and blah, 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 blah. Some of these people using, you know, they call themselves this or that. I have never, ever put a title on myself. People did, but I don't. People have said, well, you're an apostle. People have said you're a prophet. People said you're a pastor. Well, I do pastor. But you know what? That doesn't make a hill of beans. What you are is determined by what you do and how you act and react. You know, this so-and-so said. I said, it doesn't make any difference. And it was a very serious thing. They were supposed to move and do this and do that. And I said, you better get on your face before God and find out why, if this is God. Well, he said it has to be. I said, no, it doesn't. You know, what I'm trying to say to you is, if you really listen to what the Word of God has to say, it will eliminate a lot of struggles in your life rather than what somebody else is saying. I get so amused as I watch Christian television and listen to some radio at how many people, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said. And my dad used to, and I heard him say it to some of the people that were saying this, ministers. He said, why don't you say what the Bible says? Say the Bible says, because all I'm doing is saying what the Bible says. But you see, in our society, it seems like that if we, in our churchdom, let's put it that way maybe, or our circle, that if you attach somebody's name to it, it has more credibility. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know that's true. How much more credibility can it have when God said it? Hello? Now, let's think about some things here. What you continually listen to will determine your destiny. Look at the Israelites in Numbers 13. Start with verse 25. Numbers 13:14 is the complete story in a nutshell of the Israelites getting to the threshold, or the door, you might say, to go to the promised land, and then what happened to them. So, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. You know, Moses sent spies, 12 spies, one somebody from each tribe. They returned to Moses there and the whole community of Israel at the Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Their report to Moses, "We entered the land you sent us to explore. It was indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produced. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let us go up at once and take take the land," he said. "We can conquer it." But the other man who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are." So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And all the people we saw there were huge. We even saw the giants that descended in it. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought of us too. You know, I've always thought about the fact that if you're a spy, they're not supposed to see you. They saw these giants, and in their own mind, they thought, we're just grasshoppers. But nobody told them that. I want you to notice here again is two different reports. Two different reports from the same situation. Two people, Caleb and Joshua, gave a report. Yeah, it's the land, everything is there that they say is there, but we can do it because God said so. But the other 10, the majority, gave a report, "We can't do it." Now the Israelites had to decide which report to believe. That's why I like that song about the report. We believe the report of the Lord. What the Lord says. Not what somebody else says. What God says. So, they decided we can't do it. And here's their response in Numbers 14:1-4. "The whole community began weeping aloud and cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even in the wilderness," they complained. "Why has the Lord taken us to this country only to have us to die in battle? Our wives and the little ones be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt?" Now, if you don't know about it, if you study types and shadows, Egypt is a type of sin. Now, they want to go back to sin. Okay? They plotted among themselves, "Let us choose a new leader and go back to Egypt." See, this report was so negative that the destiny that God had planned for that older generation of Israelites never was accomplished because of what they heard and what they listened to. Two people of that older generation are the only two that went into Promised Land. It is because they heard the report of the Lord and believed the report of the Lord. The Israelites chose their own destiny when they decided to listen to the negative report. They chose their own destiny. You know? Somebody will say, well, the judge, somebody that's committed a crime says, the judge gave them 5 years or whatever. No. They sealed their own destiny when they chose to disobey the law. Come on. You know, people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. We choose our own destiny when we choose to go against what God said in His Word right here. That's why I say all the time, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay? Joshua chose to listen to God. At age 85, Caleb said, give me my mountain. He wanted the mountain that had the giants in it. Why? Because he believed what God told him. God told him, you can have this mountain. You can take this mountain. He believed it and did it. You know, the truth is, your destiny is decided by how you hear and how you listen to what God's saying. It's also true in the natural world that your destiny is determined by how you hear and listen. In school, if you hear and listen properly, you make the proper grades. And when I was in school, they failed you. I don't think they fail anybody anymore. I think they just pass them anyway. But I don't know. I mean, that's me. That's my thinking. I don't know what they do. But see, in other words, if you're working for somebody and the boss tells you to do something, you choose your own debt. Someone says, well, I got fired. Why? Well, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, it wasn't their fault. It's your fault. You chose your own destiny because you chose not to do what you're told to do. Hello? Y'all looking at me funny, but we got to wake up and realize some things. In the natural and the spiritual, what we hear and how we react and act to what we hear and listen to determines our destinies. You know, I believe God's wanting to help people. As I was thinking about this, I think the reason some people are having problems is because they're not hearing right. Therefore, they're not doing the right thing. You know, conflicting reports bring confusion. So you got to learn to watch both at what you listen to and how you listen to it. You got to become single-minded in listening to what God has to say. You know, a lot of people will come and they say, well, you know, I was reading this or in the Word, and really, I really want to do this, but it's sort of contrary to what the Word says. What do you think I should do? That's a no-brainer, people. You do what the Word says. I don't care if it's contrary to what you want to do. I don't care if it's contrary to what you think should be done. If the Word says it, that's what you do. I've lived that way for 80 years now, doing what the Word says. You know, when you do the Word, what the Word said, it greatly increases your productivity in every area of your life. It greatly puts you, actually I should say it this way, it puts you in a position to receive all of the promises of God. We need to discover the importance of the power of hearing, listening, and doing. What you continually hear and listen to will cause you to do what you're supposed to do if it's the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, it can cause you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. So, hearing, listening, doing is the three things I want to leave you with. Hearing and listening to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But it's the same thing on your natural life. Both of them will determine your destiny. Heavenly Father, I've spoken to these people for a few moments tonight, trying to help them both on the spiritual side and on the natural side of life. And I pray, Father, that whatever we had to say will have found lodgment in the heart that it needed to find lodgment in. And those persons will make the adjustments that are necessary so that they can complete everything that you got for them, and their destiny will be complete, and they'll enjoy the good life that you said belongs to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust you got something out of that tonight. Just a little different, but I think it's something that's very important. Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, how are you hearing? Now ask yourself this question. Point to yourself. How, say it with me, how is what I'm hearing affecting my destiny? That's a thought to think about. That's a thought to think about. Amen. Hey, if you happen to be in this congregation with us tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do so tonight before you leave. Or you need to rededicate your life to God. Or if you're listening and watching and you say, I need Jesus, or I need to be with God, I need to rededicate. I want you just to pray this prayer. Everybody repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe he came to this earth. He lived. He died on the cross. He arose again. And he's sitting at your right hand in heaven tonight. You said that if I would confess those things with my mouth and believe those things in my heart, I would be saved. I confessed them with my mouth. I believe them in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm that new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. If you're in this congregation and you prayed that prayer with us, see one of these young people here in these blue shirts, tell them about it. If you prayed that with us and you're watching, you can go to on the internet and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and tell us about it. We'd be glad to hear from you. Praise the Lord. Well, hearing, listening, doing. Important, important, important. Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock. Come believing, come expecting. Hey, let's continue to do what we need to do in the natural and apply the 91st Psalm. No plague can come near us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.